Working with a new client organization is exciting. They trust you to tell their story, to communicate with their audiences, or help them build new ones, or help them succeed as an organization. You can't wait. You want to jump right in and get to work. But before you start looking for story ideas, planning events, creating content, or designing infographics, you have to develop an often overlooked part of communications, your strategic plan. Remember Hannibal Smith in the A-Team? Do you remember the scene near the end of each show where he'd stand looking out on yet another improbable victory with his trusty cigar in hand and say, "I love it when I throw a bunch of stuff against the wall and see what sticks." Oh, of course not. That's not what he said. His memorable quote was, "I love it when a plan comes together." Without a plan, Hannibal would still be looking at the rubble around his feet crying, "Why?" Because we want to keep you from being in that position, we're going to discuss what a good communications plan should include. Whether you're working for an agency, a nonprofit, or a corporation, you need a solid plan. A good communications plan helps you set expectations early during a campaign. It defines success for the organization, and it better protects you from unrealistic or out-of-scope demands. Several years ago, we hosted a webinar with Benson Hedricks on how to craft a strategic plan. While it's a few years old, the message behind why and how to develop a great strategy has not changed. It shows you how to create measurable objectives with solid strategies and tactics. It focuses on the four-step process and management by objectives, two important ideas to help you develop strategies that make sense for you and your clients. It will help you develop your strategy chops. One of the great things about planning is that different people have different ways of developing plans. Almost none of them are ever completely wrong, but there are some basics to what you should include, which is what we're going to discuss today on this week's episode of the Spin Sucks podcast.
If you're a communications pro who works hard, doesn't compromise quality, and gets the job done, welcome home. We'll share our tips, tricks, and stories, and together we will change the face of PR. Spin sucks, but we don't. With the Spin Sucks podcast, here's Jenny Dietrich.
Welcome back to the Spin Sucks podcast. I'm Jenny Dietrich. Nearly every communicator prefers to jump right to tactics, and we forget about the research and plan phase of what we do. While it's certainly not as exciting as tactics, we should not do anything without it. Can you imagine being in a new city and having to find your way to a meeting without GPS, your phone, or a good old-fashioned map? That's what it's like when we try to run a communications program without a plan. We're trying to drive somewhere without having any idea where we're going. If you dread planning or really have no idea where to start, this is going to help. There are 16 things every communications plan should have that will drive all marketing, business development, growth, and results. Money, 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 money. Let's dig in. The most important part of your communications plan is to have a process. If you just stick some goals up on a whiteboard and call it a day, it's not going to work. However, if you have a process and it's implemented well, it will force you to confront challenges and contradictions that could trip future growth. It needs to be developed with colleagues who feel comfortable with being brutally honest. The reason creating a communications plan is harder than it seems is that we often see what should be rather than what is. If you have colleagues who aren't on the client team or not in the communications or marketing department, use them. They'll have ideas that transcend your worlds. If you're a one-person shop or you have colleagues you don't trust, use the Spin Sucks community. We love a good brainstorm session that spans several days. In today's virtual world, it can be a bit challenging. If you can craft this process in person, you can probably get it done in a day or a day and a half. But on Zoom, it might take you some time. For instance, I would never ask people to sit on a Zoom call for a full day or a day and a half. I'd break it up into two-hour segments over several weeks. If you want your communications plan to drive real business results and you work in a B2B world, the objective will always be to increase conversions. If you're working with nonprofits, it will be to increase fundraising or volunteers. And with consumer brands, it certainly depends on the organization, but I can't imagine you wouldn't want to affect sales in some way. From a B2B perspective, which is my expertise, this is where you'll state how many new customers you need by size, industry, and marketing needs. You can also describe here how much growth can come from existing customers. After all, it's far easier to grow existing customers than it is to obtain new ones. You also should say how much the increase should be and make it realistic enough that you can actually achieve it. For instance, you don't want to say that you're going to add $10 million next year if you added only $150,000 this year. The objective is the what. What do you want to achieve and how will you make it measurable? For one client we're working with, the objective is to increase highly qualified marketing leads. We look at four things: quality of audience, origination, contribution, and conversion, which leads to return on investment. For another client, we look at the website and blog traffic that comes from organic, content marketing and SEO, and direct, awareness and reputation at the top of the funnel. From there, we create opportunities for them to be marketing qualified leads. They subscribe or download content, then sales qualified, and then into new customers. While we aren't in charge of converting from sales qualified to conversion, we definitely track where they come from or what was attributed as their first touch. For some reason, goals are really difficult for communicators. When I worked at Fleischmann Hillard, I got so tired of people asking me what a goal should include. I wrote down a list of active words and I posted it on my wall. It included words for goals and for strategies. And when people were writing their plans, they'd come stand outside my office with their notebooks, look at the list of words, and go back to their office or cubicle. Today, that seems kind of silly, but it worked, and it taught people how to build goals just by looking at my wall. The goals should be no more than five, ideally only three, but definitely no more than five, and should be actionable. For instance, how will you achieve your objective of increasing your conversions? You have to have goals that work backward from there. Some examples: increase website traffic from X to X, build email database from X to X, increase marketing leads from X to X, increase marketing qualified leads from X to X, increase sales qualified leads from X to X, and then convert X percent of sales qualified leads to customers. If you don't have the numbers you need to include in your goals, you can set benchmarks. For instance, I would spend 60 or 75 days to set benchmarks and then go back and create the goals after I know what our baseline is. For one of the aforementioned clients, we started with a list of 250 prospects. We tagged them all in the CRM as prospects and we got to work. If they subscribe to the blog, download some content, or fill out a form, they become a marketing lead. Now we've hit our first three goals: increase website traffic, build our email database, and increase marketing leads. At this point, the marketing and sales qualified leads that lead to conversion are different for each organization, but this gives you a really good start. Next, you'll move to your strategy, which is what helps you achieve your goals. It's how you'll do it. It becomes your map or GPS. If your goal is to build and enhance your reputation to attract more clients in your target market, then your strategy has to be a sentence or two that describes how you'll do that. This is the vision of your communications plan. What does success look like a year from now? Really think about what you will have accomplished by the end. It could be 3 months, 6 months, a year, or 5 years. Imagine what the client or the CEO is saying to you after a successful year. Write that down. Now it's time to start building your communications plan. You'll need to get the information from your client or from your executive team to fill in some of this. They may delay getting you the information or won't provide it at all. You have to fight for it. You cannot affect change in the organization unless you know where the business is going and how you can help it get there. If some of the following information does not yet exist, force a strategic planning session. We will not work with a new client without that session, and we require every member of the executive team to sit in it. It's painful for some, and I once had a client CEO walk out because he didn't want to discuss growth in front of his team, but it created a communications plan worth its weight in gold. Then you're going to write your executive summary, and this one's easy. It's a one-page recap of everything that's in your plan. It should sit on your desk so you can review it daily. It should include mission, vision, core values, objective goals, strategies, differentiators, key messages, a list of communications tactics, any issues or challenges that came up in the initial planning meetings that you haven't yet solved, and a list of things you would like to do if resources open up but are not a part of the main plan. During the meeting where you bring together colleagues from other departments, or you're working inside the Spin Sucks community from a brainstorming perspective, you'll create a list of challenges you're facing. This could be anything from a lazy salesperson to a commoditized business. Create a description of the products or services you want to market and what challenges you might face in doing so. For instance, we have productized our intellectual property for communicators and for agency owners. One of our challenges includes communicators who don't have budget control, which means they can't spend money on professional development. Or perhaps a competitor has more experience in an industry you want to enter. Or your organization doesn't yet have the history a prospect would want. List every challenge you can foresee. The situation analysis then is an identification of key industry status metrics. We have a client who does this quarterly. He includes what's going on economically from a global perspective, as well as industry metrics. It's incredibly helpful to see how things change from quarter to quarter and how the work you're going to do falls within the industry trends. Your situation analysis should include your overall goals and focus, your culture, your perceived strengths and weaknesses, and your market share position. In just a few minutes, I'll be back to discuss the remaining 8 things your communications plan must include. I'll be right back.
There are 2 things I want you to know about. The first is the Fundamentals of Media Measurement course that we just launched with Muckrack, and the second is the PESEL Model Certification. Both will help you evolve your career this year as you learn how to measure your work using the PESEL model to get you there. The Fundamentals of Media Measurement course can teach you how to measure your earned media efforts, create a successful measurement strategy, and report on your success. It will take you about 2 hours, but it has quick, bite-sized lessons you can take when convenient. It has actionable tips, step-by-step approaches, and examples from Jonna Burke, Christopher Penn, and me. Go to mrack.co/spinsucks to learn more, get registered, and start your measurement journey today. That's mrack.co/spinsucks. Please be sure to use that link because I get a gold star every time someone registers, and I love gold stars. And for those of you who need to evolve your career, learn how to integrate the work you do with marketing and amp up your measurement efforts. The PESEL Model Certification is for you. Step up your game with an academically accredited PESEL Model Certification from SpinSucks and the S.I. Newhouse School of Public Communications at Syracuse University. Learn more about that by going to spinsucks.com/academy, or you can go to spinsucks.com and click on Academy in the navigation. And now, back to the show.
All right, the last 8 things. Number 1 is the, well, actually number 9, I guess. The customer analysis is in your communications plan could also be a brand persona creation. Who are the 3 or 4 customer types you want to attract? How many customers do you want to have by the end of the year? What are the values of your targeted customers? Include an overview of the decision process those prospects use to hire an organization like yours or your clients. And now it's time to do a competitor analysis. It should look at your own marketing position along with the market positions of your closest competition. I would also include the domain authority of all your competitors and a look at where they rank for your priority keywords. Moz and SEMrush will let you do this automatically if you have $99 a month to spend. If you don't, you can do it manually and then update it monthly. It won't take you very long. It's just a spreadsheet and a Google search. Include any weaknesses that could curtail your efforts to compete effectively. Then you'll do an implementation summary, which is an analysis of how you'll use the information that we have already created to achieve your goals. This should be as specific as possible to allow for accountability. Who needs to do what and on what timeline? Do you need help from other departments? The answer is yes. Or will you work in a silo? The answer is no. Write down a summary of the big things: product launches, events, speaking engagements, conferences, board meetings, and who will need to help. Then you're going to go to positioning statements, which could also be key messages. It's the language you will use in your marketing materials to differentiate you from competition. It should highlight your key service, mission, and qualitative skill sets. Then we're going to go to cost strategy. And I know it might seem odd to add a cost strategy in your communications plan, but it's important to look at the overall business. In this case, the cost could definitely affect your ability to deliver results. Include an overview of the organization's pricing structure relative to that of the competitors and averages for the size of company, industry, and region. The more you can claim deep expertise, the more you can charge. In a PR agency, for instance, crisis communications experts do well here because they get paid based on their expertise. Once you have this complete, you should consider posting pricing on your website. It can stay internal if you want, and there are lots, especially in the B2B world where I work, there are lots of organizations that say you have to have a demo in order to see pricing, but it's worth the conversation. And now we can finally talk about tactics. This is where most communicators start, but we just had this whole long preamble of stuff that comes before the tactics, which is actually where you should start and not with the tactics. This is where you'll include the fun stuff, such as creating a new media room using something like Pitch Engine, building a cranberry bog in Times Square, which we actually did, host a celebrity chef cook-off for Catfish, did that too, or hold a fire ant funeral complete with a pastor and mourners. pastor and mourners at a funeral. That's what they had. And that was actually the pinnacle of my career. It was amazing. Go wild here. All of your tactics will work and be measurable because of all the work you've done to this point. This should include tactics that fit within a PESO model, are integrated, and are measurable. It should include a detailed delineation of who on your team will implement specific elements of the plan and a timeline. Then you want to forecast anticipated changes in the fiscal landscape of your target industries in the next 3 to 5 years. How will these changes affect you? For instance, no one in 1,000 years could have predicted a global pandemic would shut businesses down for several weeks. Actually, that's not true. Bill Gates predicted it, but no one believed him. Guess we learned that lesson. I think we can all agree that the past couple of years have been special. Very, very special. Not only did we deal with a pandemic, the Death Valley recorded the hottest temperature ever. 3 hurricanes hit landfall at the same time. Utah had days of earthquakes. Murder hornets flew over Washington, not to mention, a presidential election, social justice movements, and climate crisis. Nothing going on in the world at all. The point is you have to be prepared for the outside forces that will affect your communications plan, even if you can't predict the specific instances. And last but certainly not least, you must include metrics. If you did your work up front correctly, you already have your metrics. Go back to your goal section in your Google Doc or Word Doc, and you know where you have listed increase from X to X. Those should be actual numbers. Those numbers become your metrics. If you need help building this part of your communications plan, we have plenty on the topic on Spin Sucks, which you can find in the show notes under the metrics heading. Make sure you follow the SMART structure when creating your communications plan. Are they specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time-bound? If you have all that, you will be ready. This is not an easy assignment, but the time is right. If you don't already have many of these things written down and in stone, it may take you several weeks of brainstorming and testing to get it right. You have enough time to get it done between now and the end of first quarter. Let's get that done. Work with colleagues in other departments, force a strategy session with executives, ask for help in the Spin Sucks community, access the organization's analytics and any other data you can get your hands on, and then get to work. You'll be happy you did. Whew, that one was a doozy. But this is incredibly important work. I know we'd all like to skip it, just like we'd all love it if one workout a week kept us in tip-top shape. Or maybe that's just me, but that'd be pretty amazing. Don't skip it. Do the hard work. It'll be worth it. To boot, the PESO model certification will teach you exactly how to do all of this work and get you there in just 8 short weeks. By the time you finish with your certification, not only will you have a certification, you'll have your PESO model plan ready for global domination. So check that out too. I'll see you next week.
If you're ready to change the face of PR, make sure you subscribe to the Spin Sucks podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a rating and a review.